Welcome back, folks. Shelby Mounts joins us, the Executive Director of NexOps. Shelby, welcome to the show.
Hi, Noel. Thanks for having me back again. I appreciate the opportunity to come back.
Absolutely. We want to talk about the successes that you've had in transitioning service members to back into society, getting a great job for them. It looks like 2023 was a banner year for you guys.
That's right. Yeah, we really focused last year on maximizing the efficiencies in our system and installing some new process tools. And I think our relationships with various military bases and employers have regained footing post-COVID. And we were able to set records in placement and the time to place, the average starting salaries for our candidates, and really set the conditions for some growth that we're experiencing this year.
Well, tell us about the numbers in 2023.
Yep. So we placed 669 enlisted candidates with good employers last year, which was an all-time high for us. Previous to COVID, the record was 604. So that was about a 10% increase. And then we have a metric that we really gauge our process time on called time to place. So once a candidate begins to look for employment, we try to keep that number below 40 days, and last year it was 37. So that's a pretty good against any industry averages, particularly given the fact that some of the industry employers might have a process that could take 3 to 4 months to employ. So it's a balancing act sometimes between those that are transitioning out of service and might have the benefit of more time to prepare versus those who are veterans already out in industry and looking for a new role, and they may need to be available and be hunting right away. And then average starting salary was the other big key metric for us. And our intention is to increase average starting salaries for our candidates in a way that beats inflation every year. So last year, we nearly hit a 5% increase with an average starting salary of $66,000 per candidate.
That's awesome. And just so for the benefit of the listening audience, we know that only 1 in 4 service members that are transitioning back to civilian life leave the military with a job already in place. So that means 75% of those that are coming out don't have something in place, right?
That's absolutely right. And there's a lot of analysis and data, and we definitely see anecdotally that if a service member coming out of service, particularly if they're not retiring, which the enlisted cohort that we serve in most cases is not retiring, they've simply done their time, 4, 6, 8 years, whatever it is, and they're getting out, that because they lose their paycheck, their health care, their housing, food allowances, et cetera, they need to find work right away or a lot of bad things can start to happen and lead to stress, emotional challenges, relationship challenges, homelessness, and in some cases, even suicidal thoughts and actions. So it's a really good outcome for them to be able to land a job quickly. But for us, I think it's more than just a job. It's about helping them and coaching them through the idea of I need a job into I want to choose something that will fit me, that will allow me to use my skills, probably develop a career and be able to not only contribute to an employer, but be able to take care of myself, my family, and my community as well. So those are some of the key elements that we focus on as we coach and develop our candidates.
You know, I was really excited that you came back on because one of the things that that I left our last interview with is that I think oftentimes when we think about military rolling out, we don't realize that that's really the end of employment, right? Because, you know, when you, I don't have a job, I was earning some money when I was in the military, I had benefits when I was in the military, and then all of a sudden I'm rolling out on a date certain and I don't have anything. I don't think the public views it that way. You know, I mean, I know I did, and I was guilty. I don't know why I thought there was this magical place that they landed in or something. I just didn't look at it. I just didn't look at it in that context, right?
Right. And most people don't. Why would you? Unless you know somebody. And increasingly in this day and age, a lot of people don't have a direct connection to someone in the service. Maybe their grandfather served back in Vietnam or earlier. They might have an uncle or even some friends that went off into the service. But more and more, you find that people just don't have a direct connection, like an immediate family member or a close friend that served. And so that experience is just a little bit opaque, I think, to most society.
Yeah, it's something that it's not at the forefront. Last time we talked, you guys were exploring an opportunity relative to the Blue Forge Alliance, a nonprofit that supports a U.S. Navy submarine industrial base. Where do y'all stand on that endeavor? Because that was going to offer up a number of placements for your folks, right?
That's right. Yeah, we spent some time on that one in the last interview, and it's continuing to progress and accelerate. We, just since we spoke last time, have hired our aerospace and defense program manager, which is funded through this arrangement. And it's the first time that NextOp has had this sort of organizational design to really focus in on the aerospace and defense industry, with the submarine industrial base work being a critical cornerstone of that. So he's a retired Air Force E-8, a lot of background in aviation maintenance, but he's also run a couple of entrepreneurial programs over the last couple of years. So we like that balance, because this is a pretty well a greenfield effort for us. So we need someone that can come in an undefined environment and focus in on this goal of getting 100 of our candidates into the submarine industrial base this year, but build out the team and the process to do that. So we've come through that hiring and onboarding of Adam Forbes. He's doing a good job for us, getting connected to various employers and other partners in this ecosystem. And then we've also, I think I mentioned, we had access to buildsubmarines.com, which is the website that candidates interested in the submarine industrial base can go register for, and companies that are in that industrial base and want to hire these candidates can go access. But what we're doing is providing a more proactive approach of pulling the enlisted veteran candidates that register and directly engaging them and getting them into our system, where we can coach and guide them through the complexities of trying to, one, connect with these employers for the jobs, but two, if they don't have the requisite skills, try to find a training pathway and even a paid training opportunity to be able to go develop the specific skills that an employer might want. Ones that are in high demand, as you might imagine, are welding and CNC operator for machining. But there's certainly lots of others, and they're not all trade skills either. Some of them are things like IT and cyber, logistics, supervisors, things like that. So we're making great progress on that. We've worked out all the kind of initial process of pulling and engaging those candidates through, and we're starting to make referrals into a number of training programs as well as introductions for job interviews.
I remember a lot of promotional stuff about 20 years ago of going into the military, you know, recruiting things about the amount and breadth and depth of training that they receive. Is that still the case today?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that the advanced technical quality of the training, I watched it in my Navy career go from what we call steam gauges with kind of a more traditional, older design aircraft cockpit and training systems through a digital transformation, both inside the platforms themselves. So we had digital gauges in my helicopters, but also into the training systems. And that led to virtual environment creation. And that approach not only enables a much richer training environment, it advances the speed of the training, the technical aptitude, the warfighting capabilities, and that has trickled not just from aviation, but throughout all aspects of training now, where you can create virtual ranges, operating environments, and virtual training for operating mechanical equipment and this sort of thing. So those investments continue. They develop. They bring in new technologies like augmented and virtual reality. And people come out, I think, very forward-leaning around advanced technology savvy training programs. But it really boils back to this idea we talked about a little over a year ago when you had me on the first time of military members are trained to be trained. And that's one of the most valuable skills, I think, that a service member can bring out with them is that they're very adaptable. They learn quick. They understand what's important. And that's something that a lot of people just don't talk about when they're thinking about veteran contributing to a team.
Well, I embrace that notion because I can tell you that the folks that I hired at the sheriff's office, former military, they were a lot more receptive to training than others. And that speaks right to what you just articulated.
Exactly. Yep. So that continues to this day. And I think that I think a lot of employers and a lot of media talk about the soft skills of our military. But even if someone doesn't have a directly translatable skill into a civilian speak, they have certainly learned how to learn. They have to have an understanding of how to leverage processes, follow checklists, follow orders, operate in a team. So those set them up for a variety of opportunities to go get maybe a particular hard skill that's required for a role.
Shelby, I've got a couple of texts here predominantly asking about is there transitional work opportunities for these folks that, you know, they need, they have a necessity for part-time work in short segments of time until y'all can get them something more permanent. Do y'all provide that assistance? Because obviously we have a couple of companies that are interested in trying to hook up with y'all in that regard.
So every conversation is worth having. We typically don't try to put somebody into a part-time role unless that's specifically the type of role they're looking for. We do have a mix, right? What we do offer, and we're working directly right now with the Pelicans and the Saints recruiting team to stand up their own SkillBridge program. And DOD has this SkillBridge program. It's been around for a few years. It's gone into a couple of different iterations. And frankly, every service manages it a little bit differently. But what it's structured to do is provide up to the last 6 months of active duty time, a internship opportunity for a service member that is approved by the chain of command to go to a company which is approved to be a SkillBridge company and host that member while they're still on active duty, so for free for the company, and they can serve as an intern there and perform a role and get trained up and learn about that company. There's no mandatory commitment to hire them on the backside, and certainly the candidate does not have to stay there, but this program does provide a nice bridge for those that are approved. And so the Saints, Pelicans organizations have achieved this SkillBridge approval, and now they want to bring people into their operations team, and we're providing some behind the scenes help with their team to understand some of the barriers and challenges around the program itself, and work with the candidates to help filter to the type of person that they want to bring on. There's not very many SkillBridge programs in the state of Louisiana right now, and because of our certification as a facilitator and a host, we're able to help companies that want to go after that model. It's a little different than an apprenticeship model, but it's akin to that, and a step for the right people sometimes is a good way to get going with a company.
Absolutely. It sounds like a great program. I guess we also should congratulate you guys. Y'all were the 2023 Platinum Higher Vets Medallion from the U.S. Department of Labor, which is the only federal-level veterans employment award that recognizes a company or organization's commitment to veteran hiring, retention, and professional development. I don't think it's really easy to get this award, so congratulations to you guys.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, we're proud of that one in particular. We've got a number of awards from a variety of charitable transparency organizations out there. We tend to rank out at the very top tiers of those. I think, you know, we have a very virtuous mission. We have a very rewarding mission. And as a nonprofit, we try to run the organization in accordance with the most transparent standards. And the third parties are recognizing us and calling us out for that. So we certainly appreciate it. But those are kind of like ribbons on your military uniform. We display them proudly and move on with the mission.
Absolutely, for sure. People want to reach out to you. Where do they go?
easiest way to get a hold of us is just to go to our website, which is nextopvets.org. And when you land on our front page there, it's pretty simple. If you want to hire a vet, you click that button. If you are a veteran looking for a job, you click that button. And if you feel like you want to donate to the cause, there's a button for that too.
And that's nextopvets.org, nextopvets.org. Shelby, congratulations to all that y'all accomplish in 2023. I understand you're on track to beat those numbers in 2024. Not to put any pressure on you, Shelby, but the next time you come on, we expect those numbers to be greater than 2023. But we understand the great work that you guys are doing and appreciate same. Have a great weekend, my friend. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Very much appreciated. Enjoy the French Quarter Festival.
Absolutely. Shelby Mounts, Next Ops Executive Director. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll go to the talk lines. It's No Filter Friday. Beautiful day. You got something to say? We'd love to hear it. Stay with us.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We want to hear from you folks. You're going to be very excited about today's news. The Biden administration is planning to shift another $7.4 billion in student debt on the back of the taxpayers. Get excited about it, because we're now up to $153 billion worth of student debt that now falls on the backs of the taxpayers. Let's go to the talk lines. Danny, you're up. Welcome to the show.
How y'all doing today?
Doing well. Yeah, How about you, Danny?
Just fine, sir. I call because I've been I'm from LaFourche Parish. I do a lot of safety work on my highways. Because I got in a wreck one time and I hurt somebody. And the next year my marriage had failed. And I started like noticing someone was putting nails by my car. So that kind of started me on something of saying, man, that's dangerous to my family. But then losing everything in my vehicle, my house and everything, God like kind of grounded me. And I started walking on the shoulders and I started to see the dangers that were out there. So I was picking them up, but I wasn't like really looking for them because I was still kind of broken in my marriage and all. And so it's like it took me a while to start focusing and realizing, man, this is like a real danger. And my boys were living away from me for years. So I would just go. And the way I would find peace was take a bucket and walk on the side of the road and start picking up nails and screws and whatever could hurt people with their tires and stuff. And especially after hurricanes, that's where I noticed we get so much out there because people put their trash on the side of the road and they don't even think to take the nails out of there or anything. So whenever the trucks come and they pick it up, sometimes people wonder why they get a flat tire all the time. So what do you ever check in front of your house because of all the dangers that you put out there? And because of that, you know, like I kept on though because I was still getting my depressions and stuff. Then lately, Hurricane Ida came and it moved me from where I was living down the bay and moved me closer to my boys in Raceland. And then God blessed me with a car again. And then I was able to like just get out there every day and just go. My work was slow. I didn't have work. All I would do is just go and pick up things and clean up bridges in my community. They gave me an outstanding citizen for it, but it's like, I just want people to, like, I would trade that outstanding citizen in for everybody to, like, realize the dangers and for everyone to, like, want to be an outstanding citizen and not hurt nobody on the highways. Because there's a lot of pain that you go through, and you learn a lot in your life, and you realize that, wow, I was, you know, I had the big truck jacked up, and I was looking with pride and everything else. And then whenever God tries to find a way to humble you, and he does, then you start to realize and say, wow, it wasn't all those things wasn't as important as, you know, like saving life and not wanting to hurt somebody or not like being so caught up in my own life that I couldn't pay attention to the highway at times.
Well, Danny, thank you so much for your service there. I mean, the reality is I don't think people really pay much attention to that, but the hazards are incredible. And the inconvenience of, you know, picking up whatever it is on the highway and causing a flat, which puts people at risk on the side of the highway. You know, I've stopped many times to help people, especially women that are sitting there not knowing how to handle, you know, some of these things. Or they have kids in the car they're trying to watch at the same time, right?
Thank you for doing that, though. I appreciate that. Because it takes guys like you to show people that there are other heroes out there. And the reason why I wanted to call y'all, sir?
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Okay, the reason why I wanted to call y'all is because, I mean, one day when the Saints were doing bad, and I'm like, man, I see, like, a lot of my people from the Paris going to New Orleans. And I'm like, man, I've been wanting to go to New Orleans because I know y'all have so many more people out there. Y'all have so much more business, contractors, and junk people, and they don't, you know, they don't secure loads right, and people are always in a hurry. So it needs to be in those kinds of people's minds that, like, they could hurt somebody with their negligence and how they prepare their loads. Because I went to veterans. I've done Veterans Highway. I'm working on that right now. I did from the Loyola red light all the way to Transcontinental red light, but where the airport starts. And this is like the last month I did this. I did all the way from the red light at the airport to Transcontinental. I walked all those shoulders in the businesses. And, man, y'all, the blacktop, I noticed, like, when people, y'all DOTD comes and blacktop stuff, they blacktop it on top of the nails. Because if you ever go look at it in the front of the stores, you look on top and say, they don't even pick that up. And I want to try to get them to realize if they have a magnet on their crew, they could be saving lives of people and just flat tires and money in people's pockets. This day and time, we can't afford the flat tires. And, you know, can't afford none of that. And I've heard of on the West Bank, I got kicked off of the West Bank the Sunday after two guys got killed helping a lady change a flat tire on the West Bank Expressway. But the state trooper said, he's like, you got to get off of here. I said, but, man, there's dangers. So there's a different animal over here than, you know, than the highway. But it's there's nails there, too. And y'all shoulders are so small that when something bounces out of a vehicle, it just bounces against that little curb and it bounces back onto the road. That's what I found the most on veterans. And so that's why it's a passion for me. I mean, I keep up with my community. I do our bridges. We have 19 of them. I roll through them every month. And I always fill up a bucket. But every day I go to y'all city, I will get a bucket full of nails and metal and stuff like that. It's all in the middle of the roads and the intersections.
Well, Danny, it seems as though you got a couple of fans because I'm getting some texts of folks that follow you on Facebook, and they say that they're thankful for you to give up your time to pick up hazards on the side of the highways and streets. They've seen you down in Lafourche Parish for sure, and I thank you as well. Did you tell Coleman that you wrote a poem about this?
I wrote this morning. So and I wrote poem this morning. Yes, sir. I wrote this morning because I'm trying to put impact into, like, it's kind of a little bit of my story and to show the impact of what it could do to a person's
life.
Well,
we're running short on time, so go ahead and read it.
Okay. Okay. Man, how y'all doing today? My name is Danny Boy Bird. I am Bayou born, Galliano being the town, from the parish of Lafourche in the great state of Louisiana. Made a good time roll on all our bodies up and down. Being from a small town and having my parents divorced at a young age, I learned early the struggle. Life can be hard, but if you really stop to think about it, it's people that give others these problems to juggle. Fast forward some years, two young sons, as I am watching in my life another marriage fail. This is where I found part of my passion for the highways. It was in my driveway where I saw the danger of a nail. I woke up one morning and saw some behind my wife at the time's SUV in my truck tires. It kept happening every morning, so it kind of opened my eyes to what safety would require. Losing everything, a house of cars falling with cars blown to the wind. I found myself getting places by walking head down on the streets again. As I would walk, I would notice the dangers on the road, so I picked them off the ground. But being lost in brokenness, it took me years for my old self to be strong and come back around. Backtracking, the year before my marriage took a ride downhill. I got in a wreck, reaching for my phone. I hurt someone. It taught me how to feel. My own careless actions, running late for work, knowing everything in my life was falling apart. Then I go and hurt a man in my truck. That's when my real journey with God began to start. Fast forward 14 years later and all the stories I've heard of so many people's pains. I fight so hard for safety on our roads so no tears of faces will stain. people getting hit by cars on the shoulders of interstates because of a flat. That's why I put myself out there with my magnet. I'm trying to change that. Always pay attention. Remember, it's better to get there late than to hurt yourself or another. Be vigilant in your driving. Act as if everyone is your sister or your brother. Please, folks, believe me. I realized that my actions had so much effect. I don't want to see anyone go through that because of a wreck.
Danny, beautiful. Thank you so much you do. I'm sorry we got to get to a break. Keep the faith.
Thank you so much
stay
for
the
having
course.
Me.
And thank you for your service, man. We will be right back. 504-260-1870. It's No Filter Friday. We'll go back to the talk lines when we return. Stay with us. It's No Filter Friday. We're going to the talk lines. David, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel. This is David Melanson. I'm the site director for the New Orleans Tool Bank. Tool Bank is a nonprofit organization that provides tools for community-based organizations at no cost. I know that there are a lot of faith-based organizations and community organizations that may be wanting to respond to the Slidell area to help in the recovery process. We do have tools available for them to use. We do not loan tools to individuals, but we do loan tools to nonprofit organizations, faith-based, community groups, schools, universities, PTAs, neighborhood associations, really any group of people that have service and charitable intent. Right now, specifically, if people are wanting to respond to the disaster, they can call me. I'll give you my contact information. They can email me or they can go to our website. My number to reach me is 318-880-7944. My email address is david.melanson. That's M-E-L-A-N-C-O-N at toolbank.org. And our website address is www.toolbank.org. And I know folks are looking for avenues to respond. The one thing I would caution, and I know you know this, Newell, is having been a sheriff, everybody wants to help immediately after the storm, and they rush and get all excited and emotional about going to help. And that leads to somewhat of a bit of chaos, because unless mm-hmm. you get in touch with an organization that is already working in response or working with the mayor's office or with the EOC, a lot of times you're going to get in the way. So I want people to know that the resource is available, but I also want people to be cautious to say, hey, we're going to immediately go and help. Because guess what? The folks in Slidell and St. Tammany Parish, they're going to need help 2 months from now. They're going to need help 6 months from now. And we have the tools that can be used for construction, demolition, landscaping, cleaning, anything that folks would need to be able to reconstruct a home or do repairs to a home. Again, it's not for individuals. It's for nonprofit or community-based organizations, but we are happy to help. That goes true for in blue sky times as well. I have a lot of neighborhood associations, nonprofit associations that use our service here in New Orleans. We're relatively new to the New Orleans area, but we definitely want to let people know that the New Orleans Tool Bank is here to stay, and we have resources and tools to offer them so that they can make their dollars go further. We like to think Absolutely. That we're a force multiplier. And I know you know that, and you've talked about it on your show many times, that community organizations and nonprofit organizations can get the job done faster and better sometimes than governmental organizations can do, simply because they don't have the red tape that they have to go through. And we're here to support those community organizations.
This is a great service, www.toolbank.org. If there are any organizations that need some assistance there, definitely check it out. David Melanson, and you can reach him at 318-880-7944. David, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate that information.
Sure. The opportunity. I appreciate it. Love your show.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend. Let's go to Gregory. Gregory, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Noel, happy Friday. What a day. I hope I see you at the French Quarter Fest. I'll probably be around Waldenburg Park, so hopefully I'll run into you. Listen, I wanted to say how significant it is that Rubenstein's is still on Canal Street. From 1979 to, that's where I worked, from 1979 to 1983, all the way my last year of high school and then through college. I worked there. And I can't think of a better iconic store, men's store, anywhere. I'm so glad to hear Kenny. You know, he's very enthusiastic. Let me tell you how much that family helped me. Just being unemployed when I was in college, you know, I decided to go into the Navy. And Andre, Kenny's dad, was a reserve officer in the United States Navy. And he gave me a very good recommendation. I was able to go through the ROTC program. And just an incredible time that I worked there. I still have suits. I still have Zenias. And I still have a couple of Canalis that I've had for well over 30 years that are still in good condition, and they're still as stylish as they were the day I bought them as an employee. I'm not kidding you. I mean, that's how good the clothing is.
Okay, now you're going to brag. You're going to tell me that you still fit in these?
I'm still the same size. I'm still a 42 long. I know.
All right, go ahead, brag. Go ahead.
Hey, man, listen, no, that's a bright spot on Canal Street. And Mr. David and Mr. Andre, Kenny's uncle and Kenny's father, respectively, are just wonderful people. And a lot of people don't know what they've done for this community over 100 years, the entire
Absolutely.
Family. I am so grateful to have known any of them. When Kenny and his twin brother used to come in the store, they were like 13 or 14 years old and just kind of run around. We had those little brats.
Right.
You know,
Kenny's a great guy.
Man, huh?
We were lucky to get them on this morning to celebrate that. There's not many men's clothing store or stores that, you know, can boast about reaching 100 years. And I wasn't sure if they were in the same location. I don't know why I thought they were somewhere else.
Were.
But he corrected me right away. He said, same location,
yeah, working there,
100
working
years.
There, you were kind of indoctrinated to the whole history of, back then it was called Rubenstein Brothers. Now it's called Rubenstein's, which is all right. Because at one time they actually went to women's wear, but they got rid of the women's wear. Now it's all men's again. But the thing is, they gave you a little history about it. They were very proud of their history and their footprint on Canal Street, probably the most expensive real estate in the whole city. I mean,
no, absolutely. And they've stayed through thick and thin, right?
They certainly have. Because
they did have an outlet in Jefferson Parish, and they ended up shutting that down and staying right there on Canal Street.
Store at Lakeside. Actually, they had three at one time. They were in the Lake Forest Plaza on Canal Street,
yep.
Of course, the iconic store.
I remember that.
And at Lakeside. Sure.
I remember that because I worked at Danny's at the.
Danny's. Oh man, y'all were Danny's at Lakeside. You really worked there.
Back in the day of Angel Flight pants, if you remember those, Greg.
Oh, I remember those. How about the merry-go-round and the Orange Julius?
And I don't have a single pair of those that would still fit. That I can promise you for sure.
Well, you know what? I'm very proud of the. You know, they taught me to buy well and wear it well at Rubenstein Brothers. And the people would come in and, you know, no, really, you know, always brush your suit off and put it in a suit bag. And that's why these, I tell you what, I have a Zenia, a double-breasted Zenia from 1984 that still looks as good as the day I bought it off, you know, off the rack.
There
so,
you go.
There you go.
They don't give them away, so you definitely want to take care of them for sure. Gregory, thank you so much for calling in. Have a great time at French Quarter Fest. I know you will, and I hope to see you out there this weekend. All right, folks, got to get to a break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, it is just a beautiful weekend for the French Quarter Fest and for the Strawberry Fest in Ponchatoula. And we're going to talk a little bit about what you need to know about the media inciting Americans more than informing Americans. And why is that? And this weekend is the Masters Golf Tournament. And there are a lot of good jokes out there about golfers. And I wonder why are there so many jokes about golfers? And there are a lot of jokes about golfers and about golf. I mean, there are not as many jokes about doctors or about talk show hosts, but a lot of jokes about golfers. I don't know why. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about David Cassidy. He's on our Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar today, and he just led such a tragic life beyond the popularity. Newell, have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. Scoot's headed your way, folks. Stay tuned. It's got a great lineup. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great weekend.